5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the podcast featuring mostly Gen X, all Gen X. I don't know. But anyway, we gripe and carp like a lot of Gen Xers do. We don't piss and moan. We're right here in the middle, in between. You know, we got the boomers over here. We got the millennials over here. Below them, the zoomers are right here in the middle, still not caring and doing it just for you. Not caring, just for you. And there are things we do care about, though, and that is our podcast. My name is Tim Andrews. There's Jeff Lieboff.
Howdy.
Steph Swain.
Hello.
Dustin Lawler.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. So one of the things we care about greatly is an animated show on Adult Swim called Squidbillies, which has returned for its 13th season on Adult Swim. You can also watch it on HBO Max. And our guest at the end of our little chit chat is going to be a returning guest. Dave Willis joins us, you know, of Aqua Teen, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. And of course, Squidbillies. We're going to be talking about the exciting and triumphant debut of the new early Kyler. It's the same early Kyler, it just has a different voice. And that, of course, is Tracy Morgan. And we've all watched the two episodes that have aired already, and we love them. They're very funny. And in fact, after you watch these episodes, you should go to the Adult Swim subreddit on Reddit and just laugh at all the people who are complaining. I don't like it. Well, you're a dummy. Anyway,
when you read those comments, every time in the back of my mind, when someone's like, oh, Tracy Morgan sucks, why'd they do that? I just feel like they're racist.
You assume so, but then you also have people who are purists and they don't like change, or
right,
they're.
But I mean, the guy fucked himself. He got himself fired.
Right.
So, I mean,
I don't disagree with you. He fucked himself royally by being an idiot on social media, which has happened to so many people. But I read a lot of those where they do sound like dog whistles for racism.
Yeah.
But most of them, I think, are just people who don't like change. And I don't want to, you know, label people as racist when I'm sure, you know, Huliman 0652.
Well, I mean, it would be crazy to say that he did not do a great job as that character for years and years, that he wasn't hysterical as that character.
He was that character.
Of course he was.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, you know, he made his bed. And I think Tracy's done a fine job filling in.
My takeaway, and we'll get into it more with Dave later on in the show, but my takeaway from it is, and I watched both episodes twice, is it's the same writing, it's the same, and it's funny. So if it's funny, then you shouldn't worry about who's doing the voice. I mean, you know, they've changed voices. The Muppets have changed voices. They've changed voices. So, you know, just deal with it.
No, I mean, it would be crazy to try and get a voice that sounded a lot like early, because then you're going to be comparing. And I mean, Tracy's completely different.
Right.
Yeah, you definitely know it's Tracy Morgan doing the voice.
Yeah. No doubt. I like that they're not trying to do early, which that was a route they could have done.
Yeah, that's like, the lazy route. They thought outside of the box. They said, let's find somebody that's going to really make a splash. And, you know, and also bringing in more voices. It's like that maybe Adult Swim coughed up a little more money than usual because you have Walter Goggins on the show and you have all these guys, all these bands that are recording the intro and stuff. So don't go away when we're done, because we'll talk about it with Dave Willis. Speaking of Adult Swim, Jeff and Dustin and I went to CusaCon, which is a convention. Was it comic books? Or it was more comic books than anything else, right? Comics and pop culture.
Comics and cosplay.
Yeah, cosplay, definitely. There was a lot of cosplay there. And Rome, Georgia is, I guess, way up there in northwest Georgia near Adairsville, far north of from us in here in Atlanta area. But
Floyd County.
Yeah, Floyd County. And it was really cool. The place was packed.
It wasn't as close to the Buc-ee's as Dustin said it was, though. Buc-ee's was still a half hour away.
Still a half what hour away.
I saw the road signs for Buc-ee's. Tell people who don't know what Buc-ee's is what Buc-ee's is.
It's that gas station, roadside attraction store, beef jerky store.
Yes.
The first one in Georgia, and they're huge out in Texas and the Midwest, and they're basically truck stops, the same kind of, like, you know, you can get food from around the world pretty much. And those little, they're known for those little corn puff balls.
Buc-ee balls.
Okay. The meteorologist at WSB, Christina Edwards, she brings those in or has brought those in, and I'd never heard of them before. They taste like corn pops.
Yeah.
And they're good. You know, but I could eat the whole bag, so I don't need to do that.
Is it like a Love's, but
yeah, but like on steroids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're really proud of their Buc-ee the mascot because it's on everything.
Yeah, Ming Chen had one of their shirts, and I thought it was something from a Kevin Smith movie.
Right.
Like one of those fake restaurants or whatever that they always
have. Movies.
Like movies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the organizers of CusaCon put on a great event. I hosted a panel with Carrie Means, who's done a number of different voices for Adult Swim and animated shows, but mostly known for being Frylock on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And Ming Chen, you know, he's been on our show a bunch of times from Comic Book Men. He was there. And we had a table. You guys did a great job there. Jeff and Dustin looked real high tech. I just kind of showed up and did a thing at home. But it was cool. I hope we get invited back next year. And, you know, maybe next year we can get involved with the, you know, the costume contest and you know, we'll find more people to click the little QC code or whatever it's called. QR code.
What are they called? Something new by next year.
Yeah. But
Rome is a cool little town, though. I went with Ming. I gave Ming a ride to the after party at the Growler Bar. Right in downtown Rome.
Did you go in?
Yeah, I went and hung out. He bought me dinner.
Cool.
And had a beer. And the town is really quaint and neat. It's a neat little town.
Just don't go outside the town limits.
Yeah.
You here, boy.
Stay in that town. Don't you go outside, because all you're going to see is dogs chained to old cars.
Yeah.
You're a comic book man, huh?
Ned Beatty once visited this town.
He sure did, and ended up over a log.
Rome was a neat little town, and that Growler Bar was cool. They had just walls and walls of beers, different beers, and then they had different stuff on tap, and you could just fill up your.
Did you fill up your growler and take it home?
You could just fill up those giant bottles and take them home.
Yeah,
and people were just coming in and making their own six packs of different beers.
That's the way it ought to be everywhere. That's the way it ought to be everywhere. You go in, make your damn beer six pack and whatnot, drink it.
I had something called Death Before Disco Porter.
Yep.
I never heard of it before.
On my way up, I stopped at an adult bookstore and got a blow up doll with blonde hair, and I put a little sign on it that said Steph.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, I didn't want you to be left out of the
could have left me out. You really could have. I don't want to know what you guys stuck in the mouth of the stall.
Nothing. Well, Ming took it home, so
it flew first class back to New Jersey.
Yes. But thanks again to the people at CusaCon. We hope to see you again next year, and I hope that they
was a good turnout for
our first con. Yeah.
Oh, and our friend Brian Silverbacks was there too. He had his table set up and was selling prints of his art. And it was nice to run into him. I like Brian. Hey, you hungry? I got an idea for you. Why don't you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro? That's Atlanta Pizza and Euro in Conyers, Georgia. That's right. They have delicious pizza and delicious euros. We've been there a bunch of times. We've done a couple of shows there. We've done a couple of meet and greets there. In fact, we're planning on going back sometime in November or sometime in the fall to do another like live recording, and more on that when we know more about it. But first things first, let's talk about Atlanta Pizza and Euro. They have brand new options for you. They have gluten-free crusts, vegan cheese, and as always, they have a lot of great local craft beers at reasonable prices. Now, Steph, don't they have a food truck?
They do have a food truck, and we all want to catch a ride in this food truck, like big time. Yeah. And I think they've done a few things so far that went very well, he said. Mm-hmm. And just to go back, though, the craft beer thing that you were talking about, I had some really good beer the last time I was there. I was like, okay. I think it was Tropicalia or something. I'd never had it before. And now that's like one of my favorite beers. So they have,
hell yeah.
I think that's what it was. But they have really great beers there. And Mike, he likes to bring you around the little taster. Let you take a little sip. You don't have to buy the whole thing. You know, maybe you don't know. He'll like, here, take a sip. And then you can get it if you want to. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about them.
I don't mind a little beer every now and then. A good tasty brew to go with your pizza. And hey, keep it in the family.
Just had a pizza.
Yeah, Dustin, let's keep it in the family. I was just about to say that. Now, someone in your family works there.
Yeah, my oldest son, Rylan, he's a server there. So when you walk in and you see a 6'5", dude come up and ask you what you want to eat, that's my son. He enjoys it. He loves the people there. It's a great atmosphere. You know, they've had long existing customers that come in there, you know, all the time. It's like a family. It's kind of like a cheer situation. He loves working there.
And he's bringing home free pizzas too, right?
Yeah, that's a perk from time to time. Yeah.
Mike Hall has been a supporter of Radio Labyrinth for a very long time, and we thank him for that. Mike and his lovely wife have always supported us, and couldn't find a nicer couple. And we would like everybody to patronize the restaurant, which is in Conyers, and maybe Dustin will be there. How about that? It's AtlantaPizzaEuro.com. If you want to find out more about it, look at the menu. And try it. I mean, it's good pizza. So
it's great pizza. Killer crust, killer cheese. He has great sauce. I haven't tried the vegan pizza yet, which I don't know. You know, I'm sure that Mike is going to make it wonderful,
right?
No matter what it is.
Does it have pepperoni on it?
No.
Oh.
It's vegan.
Oh.
They make vegan pepperoni.
I'm sure it's delicious. Sure, vegan pepperoni is delicious, but now on a vegan, can't you use Beyond Meat? That is sort of like meat, but it isn't.
There's a lot more alternatives than there used to be. That's for sure.
You can use the Impossible Bat.
Don't bring
Mike does not put bat in his pizza.
Mike does not want people thinking that he puts Impossible Bat in his pizza. So please, I mean, not even real bat, let alone Impossible Bat. Check out Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They're on Facebook, and they are, and the links are all here for you to click on and to go check it out. That's AtlantaPizzaEuro.com.
Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this
now? All righty, what else is going on? Listen, we're thinking about having a holiday party on December 19th. That is a Sunday, and we're going to try to have this party at Atlanta Pizza and Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Now, it's tentative. It's penciled in. If you have any interest in going, make sure you reserve the date, and we will confirm everything, of course, as we go along with these holiday shows. Also, I had talked about doing a bracket for holiday movies. We got some submissions from people for Thanksgiving movies, but I think I'm just going to start it in December, and it's just going to be for Christmas movies, because I found out that it's an awful lot of work. So I'm going to do that, but it'll just be the Christmas stuff, and we'll have different categories, and I'll explain it as we go on. Was somebody going to jump in?
I was just going to say, instead of doing the bracket for the Thanksgiving one, just we could keep posting our favorite Thanksgiving movies, because
I'll take the top 10 that are on there that people keep posting and make a poll, and we'll just that way we can just get some results anyway.
All right, on Facebook, right?
Yeah, on Facebook. I'll do it in the Radio Shack, and I'll put it on the regular Radio Labyrinth page and the Radio Shack, and we'll just
put it on. Cool. and we'll all share it, and you can participate. And that'll be TV episodes, movies, animated, anything Thanksgiving related. I have a feeling I know what's going to win, and I think it'll come down to two or three different things. But I'm not going to spoil that yet. But yeah, definitely we'll do a bracket type of thing, like on Twitter, for the Christmas movies. So I guess that's all we got going on right now. But seriously, pencil in that date, December 19th. Mike's being really cool with us. And I'm going to try to find somebody to partner with us to bring desserts and everything. So it'll be really cool. All right. So as far as TV and stuff like that goes, did everybody watch Dexter or no?
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it yet either.
All right. Well, we're not going to spoil it, and we'll talk about it if you guys dive into it.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm
going to
watch it too.
I'll tell you one thing. I liked it a lot. My takeaway from it is Dexter's back. I haven't had such elation watching a guy stick a knife in a guy's heart in a long time. And it definitely was. It felt like Dexter before Dexter went to shit.
So yeah. Is there a Dokes-like character that we can get behind?
Not yet, but you'll find a character. There'll be characters. It's weird. It starts off the first act of Dexter, New Blood. I don't like the name. I mean, they went with like, oh, what could we call it? New Blood. All right. I get it. But it is a season what of Dexter? Season 9. They really do that whole checking the box thing as far as having the right characters. Like, have you guys watched the first two episodes or the first couple episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he goes into Netflix and then he goes into Hulu. Yeah. And it's the same people. Yeah. It's the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got that vibe from Dexter, but it's part of the story. It's just now I can see it everywhere because it's all people talk about. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Nobody else watched Resident Alien?
No, that's what we're going to get to. You keep posting this joke, or you kept posting the joke that I didn't get. So explain Resident Alien.
I'm rewatching it now on Peacock. Yeah, that's what I'm
watch the first episode of Dexter New Blood and tell me that it's not Resident Alien, because it's the exact same show. Instead of an alien, he's a serial killer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's set in Maine.
Exact same show.
When you said that, I knew what you meant before I even saw it. I was like,
Well, we can't say anything without spoiling some of the plot, and right. I don't want to do that because it's a good show. So I like it. If you like Dexter, I think you'll enjoy this new season of Dexter, at least the first episode, like I did. What else is there to talk about? I mean, anything you guys want to bring up? I'm excited for our interview with Dave Willis. So kind of like,
yeah.
The only story in the news that I posted in the news was that creator Squid Game said he's making a season 2.
I saw that. I'm looking forward to that. I love Squid Games. I hope it's just as violent and horribly malicious as the first season.
I'm interested to see how he's going to write, how it comes out written in such a short amount of time compared to the 10 years it took him to make the first one.
Right.
We'll see if it's talent or rewrites.
Yeah. He's got a lot of building blocks that he set up though in the first season to rely on for a second season.
I mean, I guess for 10 years, you've probably got it in the back of your mind that you've probably written out the whole series, you know, four seasons long. You've been working on it that much.
Oh, one other piece of news. We the acting world, the pop culture world, we lost a great this past week. Of course, I'm talking about Dean Stockwell. He was 85 years old. I didn't know he was that old. But, man, he's really been in the zeitgeist for a long time. Last to me would be he was Cavill, the Cylon on the Battlestar Galactica, the 2000s series, which I thought he was amazing in that. If you ever watched the special, The Plan, Battlestar Galactica, The Plan, where it's all from the Cylon's point of view, it's like a 2-hour movie. He orchestrates the whole thing. It's amazing. It's worth a watch. And a lot of people, we all know him from Quantum Leap, which was a great science fiction show on NBC back in the, I guess it was the late 80s and early 90s, wasn't it?
And they were talking about rebooting it, but I don't know what'll happen now. He passed.
Yeah, they said they were in talks because Bakula came up and was, you know, he was giving his condolences and everything. And,
right.
And he talked about how they had come to him about it, but they hadn't started any type of production. So right.
Yeah. Also great in Blue Velvet. You guys remember Blue Velvet? That was a fantastic film.
And that was one of his first roles coming back because he had quit acting for years and gotten out of it because, you know, he started as a child actor and he did a lot of theater when he was young. And then he came out and did a movie based on a play he was doing called The Kid with the Green Hair when he was like 12 years old. And then from then on, he worked in TV and everything. And then he got to a point that he took a big break. Anytime there was a child on set, he was more concerned about their well-being than his own or anyone else on set, because he knew how much it affected children, you know, growing up in the industry. So he was very much an advocate for child welfare in the acting community, which I thought was pretty cool too.
Yeah. And David Lynch must have liked working with him on Dune to bring him in to be a part of Blue Velvet. So there's also that, but man, you look at his IMDb and Dustin is right. He's just got a ton of stuff from when he was a kid and then tons of TV appearances and films. So he'll definitely be missed. But like I said, I didn't know he was so old or that age.
He was always great in everything that he was in.
Yeah. Watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think it's holding up. I think it's really funny. And I just rewatched all of season 7 again. That's the Seinfeld season.
I'm going to say that, you know, and I don't really brag on myself much because there's not really much to brag about, but I can middle.
I bet you could middle.
Fucking middle anything.
Yeah. Steph, I think I left my jacket at your house. Will you look around to see if you see it?
How are they going to wrap that story? That chick is insane.
She is, but she's so funny. But yes, she's scary.
Yeah, absolutely, she's scary. Oh gosh, let's see. I watched Dexter. Already talked about that. I on your guys' recommendation from last week, I started listening to Joe Hill, who is Stephen King's son. I didn't know that he started writing in the early 2000s. I didn't know he was 49 years old. He looks old in Eli Roth's History of Horror, but anyway, everybody's younger than me. They might as well be 10, but he's not that much younger than us. He's 49. Anyway, I read his first book, which was called Heart-Shaped Box. It was really good and really well-written and very creepy, like Dustin said. And now I'm on to his second book, which is called, Horns, and I'm enjoying that as well.
Yeah, just don't buy any suits off of eBay. That's all you're gonna remember.
Definitely not buying that. I like the reader, who read that book. It's the guy from Avatar, the evil general. Anyway, doesn't matter. Stephen Lynch, that's his name. Yeah. Really good voice actor. I got some podcasts that I listen to. I listened to the most recent Rob Lowe, literally. And it was Anthony Michael Hall, and it was a great conversation. I wish it had been longer. It was only an hour, but I wish it had been longer. And Gilbert Gottfried was on doing 3 hours on Joe Rogan. And it was really weird because Gilbert talking for 3 hours and also Joe Rogan not knowing anything about pop culture.
Yeah, that was kind of strange.
Yeah, I didn't know that. He's a lot of that in there. I mean, he could tell you all about elk and ivermectin and all those things and all the tubes and all that other shit, but he can't, you know. I think he didn't have the grasp of the old school pop culture that Gilbert does.
Yeah,
you Gilbert to the go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say Gilbert always seemed like he wanted to go for that deep dive, and every time he did, it was just like he was talking to a kid. It was like he just had to stop, and he was like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. What were you gonna say, Steph?
I was just gonna ask you, did you listen to Tim Dillon this week when he was talking about the whole University of Austin?
No.
Barry Weiss's online university where you can learn how to be, you know, live your truth.
No. I love Tim. I don't know why I don't get into it's not that I don't get into it. I just haven't, like, I'll listen to all these podcasts and then I'll take a break and listen to the audiobook and then I'll take a break. Anything I can do to avoid having to listen to talk radio outside of my own station, I will do.
He's the only one, like, I consistently, every Monday when I listen to him, because I know that new episode's out. I can't wait. I get so excited.
Oh, congratulations to you and the station for your award.
Oh yeah, we won Legendary Station of the Year.
Oh wow. Nice. congratulations.
And yeah, it was all due to me.
Yeah, of course.
I wonder if Jeff's company will be making the banner.
Yeah, hopefully.
So I don't really have a staff pick, but the last thing I watched, a movie on Amazon Prime, I saw it, you know, I like gangster stuff. I like anything about the mob, especially the old school stuff. There's this movie that just showed up called Lansky. And it's kind of a biopic about Meyer Lansky, and it stars Harvey Keitel as Meyer Lansky. Altogether, not that great of a film. It has a great cast. It has a great topic, but it's kind of meandering and slow. I enjoyed it simply because it's Harvey Keitel, but you also had Sam Worthington, also from Avatar. But John Magaro, he played the young Silvio in The Many Saints of Newark. He plays the young Meyer Lansky in this, and he's fucking amazing. This guy is such a good actor. I recommend anything he's in. I need to go and watch it because he's fantastic. So if you're into like a historical account of Meyer Lansky being the guy who created Murder Incorporated for the mob. He was a Jewish mobster. He actually had a seat on the council that governed the Italian mafia in the last century. And he's also the guy who had Ben Siegel, aka Bugsy Siegel. He was his best friend, and he also had to approve of them putting a hit on him. So if you're into that, I recommend it.
I watched very little as well, but I did watch Finch on Apple Plus, Tom Hanks's new post-apocalyptic opus.
Sad Max.
Yeah, Sad Max. That's a very good definition of that. It's or like you said, it's like Castaway with a Wilson that can talk.
Yeah.
So it's but I mean
the dog should win a fucking Academy Award though. The dog was amazing.
Yeah, the dog was awesome, and it was a real dog. Not a CGI dog. And I mean it looks great. It's just it feels like every portion of the movie has been done so many times when so many other movies that nothing really seemed original about the whole movie, but it looked great. And it's a Tom Hanks movie. I mean, it's definitely worth watching, better than a few of the last movies that he's put out, you know, like his Apple TV movie and stuff. But it's all right. It's Finch on Apple Plus. Of course, watched Squidbillies. It was great. And I'm rewatching because you brought it up, Resident Alien, on Peacock, because I'd gotten Peacock to finally watch the, Halloween Kills. And I realized all this, you know, started looking through Peacock, and there's an amazing mix of stuff on there. I was telling Jeff that the, Weird Al show, when did you know it was made?
No, if it was animated too, I don't remember that being the stuff that I saw on MTV.
It's kind of set up like Pee-wee's Playhouse almost. Right. How they he has stars come in as guests, and they kind of walk around the place, and then it'll cut to some animation for some parts. But it was definitely probably 15 years ago at least, old, but I'd never heard of it, so finding it on there was kind of cool. There's one season of it on there, and that'll be my staff pick, will be the Weird Al show on Peacock. But Resident Alien, I'm watching, rewatching, because I watched it so broken up over a period of time when it came out. But watching it straight through, Alan Tudyk is just amazing. Yeah. His acting is as a person pretending to be something, you know, an alien, and in his perception of everything around him is so good. I mean, he's great in everything, but this one really shows off his acting chops for sure. So if you guys have a chance to watch Resident Alien on Peacock,
go
get in on that Dexter first new blood. I think you can watch the first episode for free online. Mm-hmm. I'll give it
a comparison for you.
Yeah. It's just so you can see what my thought process is on the whole Resident Alien thing.
I watched Catching Killers on Netflix. It's a show. They only have like 5 episodes, and it's the detectives who caught big name serial killers, and they tell you how exactly they did it, and they mix in real footage from the time and all that stuff. It's really good. The first one is the Green River Killer. That was super interesting. The only thing that I didn't care for is that these detectives are old now, and this makes them very emotional. And so they start crying and shit. A lot of them are crying because, you know, it's like you get older and you really start thinking about this and all these girls that were dead and da da da. And
they got 40 years worth of building it up in their head and living with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, that was just the Green River Killer. Now, I'm watching the Eileen Wuornos one now, and man, I thought I knew that case inside and out. I listened to, I don't even know how many podcasts, of course, watched the movie Monster, all this other stuff, but they really give you a whole new take on what it took for them to catch her and all that jazz. So it's really, it's called Catching Killers. The Holiday Baking Championship, that is like the thing that keeps our marriage together, is the fucking Holiday Baking Championship. We live for it. I mean, I love all baking shows. We love them all, but it's this particular one that we get so jacked about. So that's back on Discovery Plus, or, you know, on the Food Network, if that's what you got. And Narcos Mexico season 3. They got rid of a dude last year. He's in jail now, but they still have Scoot McNairy, and it's pretty good. It is. It's still pretty good. I kind of miss that guy. You know,
a lot of people are saying it dropped off in season 3, but
I miss that guy.
Yeah.
And, what's his face? That was in, what's his name? Diego Luna.
Yeah.
I miss him, just like I missed the dude that played Pablo Escobar in the first season. But right. Diego Luna kind of, yeah, he helped you get over it. Well, there's no baddie like that in this one for you to really sink your teeth into, but it's okay. And my stat pick is, and we had Diallo Riddle on the show, and Southside season 2 is premiering November 11th on HBO Max. And if you have never taken the time to watch season 1, please do. I'm telling you, it's so freaking funny. It's so funny. So please give Southside a chance. Season 2, November 11th, HBO Max.
Yeah, come on. Oh, not that Southside.
This is Southside Chicago. I can't see Steve even live in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I went to see Lou Burger at the Punchline. They're that three-man musical comedy song. You heard that song, White People Taco Night?
No.
But yeah, you've heard it if you're ever on TikTok.
I'm not.
But they were great. I saw Todd Barry last night at City Winery.
How was that? Sorry, I couldn't go.
Yeah.
Was he funny?
He was hilarious.
Did he do crowd work or was
it? Yeah, he did a little, and I'm glad I changed seats because you didn't come. So I just decided to sit in the back. But the people that they gave my seats, our seats too, got heckled pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I guess the guy had a Stephen King shirt on. And that really, he was like, ooh, this guy's a Todd Barry fan. yeah, so that was a good show. Joe Pera Talks With You. We haven't mentioned that, the first two episodes of those.
Oh, yeah. I have that on the DVR. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, they're very good. I was reading articles. It's the highlight of the article, it said Joe Pera makes Ted Lasso look like Dexter. Doctor Who, I'm sticking with that. American Rust season 1 finale was really good. That's that Jeff Daniels Moira Tierney show.
Mm-hmm.
That just wrapped up on Showtime. Very good.
They leave it open for a sequel, yeah, series.
They left a lot of questions in the final episode that I hope that will get answered if it gets another series. Cool. Chapel Wait, that wrapped up too. I don't think that'll come back. I think that was just a limited series where there's just going to be one season.
Mm-hmm.
That was Adrian Brody, based on the Stephen King story. It was pretty good.
He was in the last episode of Succession this week. Adrian Brody was.
Yeah, I heard he was going to be a regular character this season.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And I started watching that Center Seat Star Trek documentary.
Is it good?
It got on the History Channel. Yeah, it was pretty good. It just got into the whole origin of Gene Roddenberry creating Star Trek and how Lucy helped pay for the show and save the show when they were trying to cancel it and stuff. The whole first episode was really good. I'm going to keep watching that. It looks like they're going to cover everything, not just the original series. They're going to do the animated series and Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and all that stuff. So I'm going to keep watching that. It was very good. And my staff pick is going to be Vanessa Bayer from Saturday Night Live. Started a podcast with her brother called How Did We Get Weird? There's only 8 episodes so far. And I've listened to about 4 or 5 of them. She's had Fred Armisen, Bowen Yang, Beck Bennett, Bobby Moynihan, a bunch of people on. And it's pretty funny. It's just her and her brother. And they just talk about, you know, weird shit from when they're growing up and just funny stories, and I like Vanessa Bayer anyway, so that's a good podcast. It's called How Did We Get Weird with Vanessa and Jonah Bayer.
Cool.
Yeah, that sounds like, I like that, I think. I love her.
Yeah.
I always thought she was hilarious.
That one little thing that she did, and I think you should leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kills me.
You big fuckers.
And her emotional vampire on
Yes.
Yeah.
Nope.
Hello, America. Once again, it's time for your favorite pastime. Which one will they choose? Play along with this week's edition of Views or Snooze. Take it away, Jeff.
All right. Number one is going to be the Home Sweet Home Alone on Disney Plus. This is the remake of the Home Alone movie.
Snooze.
Yeah.
And it's British, right?
I don't know what the deal is.
Exactly. I thought it was in London. I thought it was a British take on it.
Right, but there's like a crazy cast, and the writers and stuff seem pretty good. So,
yeah. Speaking of reboots, sorry to jump in your segment here, but speaking of reboots, the one story I forgot to add that was going to be a next story is that De Niro is getting with some people to reboot Midnight Run. And that's a hard pass for me. I don't even want to hear about it. So, nobody bring it up.
Yeah, okay. Who did they get to play the Charles Grodin part?
Next story.
All the main characters, the cool characters are dead.
No, Joey Pants is alive.
Joey Pants and De Niro are alive.
Yeah.
Mosley isn't.
Yeah.
And neither is the Duke. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. The next show.
So Home Sweet Home Alone is going to be a snooze from everybody. I'll wait and see what people say, because I think some of the people behind it give it a little bit of credibility, but we'll see what happens. It's probably going to be a snooze for me, but we'll see. The next one is on Apple TV, The Shrink Next Door. Mm-hmm. This is that Paul Rudd psychiatrist.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. And it's not a comedy, right? It's like...
it's a straight movie. Yeah, it's a straight drama, I think.
I'll view it.
Yeah, I'll view it too.
You'll view The Sexiest Man Alive anywhere.
Oh, I like Will Ferrell when he does
serious stuff.
Yeah, that one that he did, Everything Must Go. I love that movie. Yeah. I watched it like 4 or 5 times. I like it when he does serious shit. He's a really good actor. To me, he reminds me a lot of Melissa McCarthy. I like her better when she does serious shit.
Yeah,
she is a good actress.
Yeah. When her husband doesn't write goofy shit for her to do.
This has to stop. They got to stop doing that. That's enough already.
So that's a views from everybody on The Shrink Next Door.
Yeah.
I'll give it a views.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Yellow Jackets. That's that Christina Ricci show where they were like in a plane. And as teenagers, they were in a plane crash. And like some weird, like alive shit kind of happened. And now this is like 20 or 30 years later or something. And somebody's come back. Something's going on. They're trying to kill him. I don't know. It's going to be weird. It's in the new Showtime series that starts this week now that American Rust is wrapped up.
Abby, have snooze for me.
It's pretty good.
It's Christina Ricci. I'll give it a views.
And Julia Lewis too is the other one.
Oh, she's in it?
Yeah.
All right, I'll try it.
Yeah. I'm gonna views it.
All right, let me know how it is. So I'll have to eat my hat.
Well, if she's in it, I'll give it a try.
I just found a picture of the sexiest man alive and myself.
Is Paul Rudd the sexiest man alive?
Yeah,
he just got it from
according to people.
People, yeah.
I feel like he kind of missed the boat on. I mean, that was like a 6-7 year ago thing. Maybe, from
what he's saying, that's exactly how he views it as well.
Right.
So.
Yeah, they slept on that one.
Yes.
Not that he doesn't still look good and all, but come on.
I look like Seth Rogen in this picture. Well, sort of. It's from like 2010 or 9. All right. So that's Snooze Reviews. Thank you, Jeff. Before we wrap up the show, what's going on with Barkville, Steph?
The big thing is that we are trying so hard to raise money to build our own facility to where we can keep dogs that we don't have fosters for. You know, currently, if we don't have a foster, we have to put them into boarding and we can't really afford that. So a lot of times we don't pull dogs. They end up getting euthanized because we got no place to put them. So especially in Clayton County, they got real shitty this last week. And they used to do this thing called a last call list, but that kind of meant like, you get one last call. We're not going to kill these dogs. Well, now they're just like, all the dogs are dead. We just fucking killed them all. So it's like, this shit just got real. So we're trying to build this facility. And the cool thing is if you pay $20 for one of these raffle tickets, you have the chance to win a Caribbean vacation for two, or you can take $1,500 in cash. Second prize is a $1,000 Best Buy gift card or $700 in cash. Third prize is a $500 Best Buy gift card or $300 in cash. Either way, $20 will probably give you a shot at winning something really great. One of our listeners, Eric Malmstrom, he won the last raffle that we did. Out of all the people that bought tickets, one of our listeners won. So please go to raisethewoof.charityraffles.org. Throw us $20, get a raffle ticket, and you know, you don't have to live here. You can live anywhere. Eric, he lived in Pennsylvania, right?
Right.
So anyway, please help us out if you could. We would appreciate it. If you're looking to adopt or you maybe want to try fostering, or you'd like to just maybe help us out giving dogs freedom rides from the shelter or taking with the vet for us, go to barkvilledogrescue.org and fill out an application to volunteer.
Awesome. Woof. Thank you, Steph. Okay. Well, what else do we have to talk about? Oh, we have a guest coming up. And so don't go away, because we have the great David Willis, Dave Willis to us, because we're friends, from Adult Swim to talk about season 13 of Squidbillies and the big changes made to the show. Well, actually, just one big change that is really awesome. So until next time we all talk, please remember to keep it canon.
And we're just talking about how much we enjoyed the new season so far.
Oh, good. It's it's been interesting. I think the haters are gonna hate.
Excuse me, I'm going to Reddit right now to write down how much I don't like the new guy that's doing a voice. So
you guys made it very clear that you weren't taking any shit from anybody over this. Yeah. In the first episode, which I love that. I love that you came on strong and basically taught everybody what was actually covered under freedom of speech.
Yeah, a little bit of throwing a little shade there.
But it was funny shade.
Yeah, it was.
It's kind of a weird thing for boomers, isn't it? I mean, I think our generation X is probably not going to accomplish too much in this world, but it seems like we will at least understand that you can't just say whatever you want and continue to maintain employment. it's so great. It's like the Facebook turned the boomers into their own publishing company, and they were ready to be that.
But even our generation does a good job, though, at moderating ourselves to a degree.
And yes, true.
But like you said, we kind of like, okay, you know, we're used to everything that the boomers had, but we kind of see what the millennials think as being actually, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe you don't need to do all these things that we've always done. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm so cautious at this point. I'm just not even an interesting online at all. I mean, because it's like, I don't even want to talk shit about something that I actively hate on TV or movies, because I'm like, maybe I'll get to work with this person that I hate their stuff. You know, it's like, it's just not.
You can do. We have a show on, and I don't think he's Gen Xer. I think he's younger than us. There's a show on Netflix, and I'm sure you know, I think you should leave, that proves without a doubt that you can do comedy in this day and age that's subversive without being offensive. It's just fucking
true.
Funny.
True. true, and it's not political, and it's silly, and just it's silly, and it's singular, and I mean, yeah, I mean Tim Robinson is a freaking genius. Yeah, we had him in Your Pretty Face too, and I don't think we quite realize the power of him when he gets just volcanically angry, and
yeah,
I wish I had kind of known that. I think we would have probably written a moment for him to unload.
Jeff and I just got a little bit of a preview of the Aqua Teen movie from Carrie at CusaCon up in Rome, Georgia last week.
Really? Carrie just talked about it, or what did he say?
Yeah, I did a panel with Carrie and with Ming Chen from the comic book guys. And it was pretty interesting. I mean, Carrie, so he just kind of, you know, did his thing and did a lot of talking and talked about the movie, and people are asking him questions. I can't say.
it's a fun, I can tell you this. As time has passed, I thought our first movie like had some promise and it had some really funny stuff, especially in the first like 5 minutes, but I think we just didn't know quite what we were doing, but I think we know what we're doing now. And like, I think the animation is just going to blow people's minds. Bento Box is just doing this incredible, and it's a pretty broad story. It covers like a lot of ground, and it's just crazy. And it's a little, and it's definitely satirical. We got some of the voice actors in it are just great. We're super excited about it. I think it's as cool as anything I've ever gotten to work on. And I think everyone sort of feels that way. We're really reinvigorated and re-energized on the whole thing. So it's great.
And it's going to lead into new short episodes of Aqua Teen eventually?
Those will happen soon. I think those will air before the end of the year. Those are real short. They're like 3 minutes. I don't know how they're going to release them. They might be early next year, but they're animated and done. Those are like old school Aqua Teen. The movie is going to look different. The movie will be like a new thing looking, but, shorts are old school, and they're called Aquadomp side pieces, and they're just about all the villains, just sort of what the villains are doing now. There's not a whole lot of Aqua Teen. The characters are in some of them. Like there's a Ham Banana one. There's a there's actually a couple of Ham Banana ones. There's Cyber Ghost, the Brood Witch, the Frat Aliens.
Have you seen the Pet Meds commercials that use Hand Banana?
No. What is that?
There is a commercial. It's for it's an online. It's either for meds or for toys and shit. You can buy stuff for your pets online, and all the pets are bright yellow, and when the dog looks exactly like Hand Banana. So wow. Every time I see the commercial, I go, "Later, you."
Ivermectin.
Horse please.
Well, it's kind of interesting. It like sort of, we do two more Ham Bananas, and it's kind of like Ham Banana and Carl have settled into a boring relationship. Basically the premise. So all that stuff's coming around the corner. And of course, you know, we got these 10 episodes of Squidbillies, and so we got 8 more, just burning through them. Spent two years worth of COVID making them, and now we're just burning through them. So
how'd you land on Tracy Morgan?
That was Jim. Jim was like, because we, after the whole thing with Unknown blew up, we had, I mean, pretty much half the season was already animated, and we were well down the line of production. Like, so we needed to replace, I think Sean Coleman, our audio guy, was like, you ought to just replace the character with a different person each episode, which was kind of funny and a very Adult Swim way of doing it. And I think Jim talked about Tracy Morgan, and of course Tracy fits this. He checks off a lot of interesting boxes. Like, of course he's funny. The fact that he's Black adds this sort of other layer to it. But he's also a guy that you really haven't seen. I mean, maybe he's done some voices, but I'm not aware of it. And Phil Sampson, one of our producer editors, put a bunch of weird stuff from 30 Rock into an old episode just to kind of see what it looked like coming out of the character. And it was really funny. And the network was supportive, and we were able to make it happen. So much of what he did was ADR because those shows were already done. And so it was, we're like, this, I think this works. This is what, it's different. I mean, we would tweak lines here and there, you know, because we were like, just this does not roll off the tongue of someone Bronx born and bred, you know. Little subtle Southernisms, like when you put the word now in a sentence where, you know, some redneck might just say, and then we're going to go to the Bulldogs game now. And, you know, and Tracy would be like, now we'll go to the Bulldogs game now. Yeah. Well, you just got a little sneak peek at my terrible Tracy Morgan scratch voice, which I was using.
Yeah.
Who was were there any other names you were floating around?
Not really. Honestly, I think once Jim threw that out there, Jim and I and Alan, I think once Phil put it in the, I think we all were like, wow, that works, you know? Someone had floated Dolly Parton, but no.
You could have done Lil for the one episode.
That's true.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that she would have been funny to be the voice of Lil, and that's all I meant by it.
I'm not sure when we had Walt, you know, Walton Goggins did that funeral director voice, and we were certainly talking about him too, like just recently. We went to record Jesco just yesterday, and in rural Tennessee, and so we sort of did a road trip, but we were talking about how Walton Goggins' voice just really cuts through. Just was awesome, you know, just nice and legit, you know. Statesboro, I think, is where he's from, and just really cuts through.
I also feel like you could have had Tim as Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, that's always an option if the show were
ticked all the boxes.
If the show
I'm ready when you need me. I mean, come on, let's just do it. Let's do it. I mean, really.
You guys have Buddy Guy and Willie Nelson for the theme so far. Is there anybody else coming up that you can let us know for the themes?
Yeah, let me think about that. Those are the big ones. That and Sturgill Simpson. We got Sturgill did it right before he had a voice issue. He had to cancel his show, and he's on the mend. And we got him to do it right before Billy Wayne Davis, you know, the comedian, who we've been having him play this character of Bobby that, you know, sort of runs the Walmart, is good buddies with Sturgill and made that happen. And and then some of the others are sort of interesting. Crowded House, Los Lobos.
Crowded House. Yeah.
Crowded House.
I'll get Eric to talk about the show because he loves Crowded House. They're one of his favorite bands.
Well, I was a fan from way back. Jim's a huge fan, you know, and was really into the idea of Neil Finn doing it. Los Lobos does a Spanish version. Dinosaur Jr., Amanda Shires. Those are just the ones off the top of my head. But
is she with Jason or is it just her?
No, we've already gotten Jason to do it. So we just wanted to see what her take would be. God, I'm blanking on who. Oh, Billy Gibbons too.
Oh, cool.
ZZ Top. Yeah, that was sort of neat. We're talking to him on the phone, and you're going, God, your voice is great. Just this crazy deep Texas voice. And so, yeah, he did it too. So it was awesome.
Was the original Billy Joe Shaver?
Yes, Billy Joe. We Jim Fortier and I wrote the song, and then we went to Austin, Texas, and recorded it in some weird mega church that had a studio. And Billy Joe knew the deal that the song was a little randy and maybe not appropriate for the church, but he came in and we got him to do a bunch of stuff for us. He did like seven different versions of the song with different lyrics and over the years, and he was great, just great. And I think in tribute to him, because he passed away over this COVID thing, is we have his theme on one of these last 10, I believe. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Walton Goggins, and I think I saw that
James Austin Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played the pharmacist, which is very loosely, not loosely. It's his dad. I reached out to him when I first heard that Trump impression, I was just like, oh my God. And I reached out and got a hold of his agent, and, we got on the phone with him to talk with him about a bunch of stuff. He's in one of these Aqua Teen shorts too, but he was just telling me about some of the other characters he did. And he does this very sort of Southern effeminate, like, are you guys familiar with his stand-up at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. He does this like sort of effeminate sort of Southern, like Methodist youth guy that's in like sort of the trench coat mafia. like, hey, you guys, do you think we should be doing this? And but he did this version of his dad, which was like, he said he went to make, I'm paraphrasing here, but he went to McDonald's with his dad, and his dad is at the drive-thru. He's like, I'd like to order a McFlinger. He kept trying to order a McFlinger. But yeah, super awesomely nice guy. And then we reached out to him again about a voice, and he's like, I can't, I just joined Saturday Night Live. Did you see his Trump? I mean, yeah. They basically just turned the camera on him. I mean, it wasn't even really a sketch. It was just like, can you do that really great Trump for 5 minutes?
I'm surprised they waited three episodes for him to bust that Trump out, because his first episode, he got to open the show.
His Biden is pretty good too. Yeah. It's not, he's like a modern day Daryl Hammond. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff, man.
The guys from Red Clay Comedy Festival were raving about him. I guess he did Red Clay Comedy Festival a couple of years ago.
Well, he's a young guy from, and he's from like rural Nashville, you know, sort of regional Nashville, sort of got that Southern thing that has been weeded out of him, but will always be bone deep, you know? So
are there any other guest voices that we should be listening for the rest of the season?
I'm not really sure. Not that I can think of. I think we front loaded with this shit.
Right.
I mean, the episodes are good. They're not done yet. We're still trying to frantically finish them. But yeah, I mean, we're loving the episodes. There's an episode coming up about sort of a lice outbreak that we actually wrote before COVID, and then we sort of, and it was right at the beginning of COVID, and then we were like, there's a lot of correlations, so then we started sort of steering it towards COVID. Then we had another episode about just a giant owl that's like terrorizing the county, like it's like Jaws. That also had some COVID things too. It's just like Dan Halen is asking if the cops are just going, "This is a giant owl picking people up," and he's like, "But so far, just squids exclusively, though." Yeah. <It's> like,
you have to get any kind of COVID mention or anything looked at by people, so to make sure that it's safe to air.
It's veiled enough. I mean, Standards looks at everything. It's veiled enough that, but it's crystal clear what we're talking about. Right. And it's not the whole point of the whole, it's just little subtle things here and there, you know. Yeah. At the end, there's just owls, baby owls all over the sky. And Dan Halen is like, "The apple orchard will remain open and open for business." So, but no. But it is weird. I mean, we took 2 years to make this. I mean, partially because we fired our main guy, but also just, you know, staring at screens and doing this via computer has been. You know, we all lived it. I don't need to remind you.
So when Squids wraps up, what's going to be next for Dave Willis? What do you got on the horizon?
Well, I'm excited about that Aqua Teen movie and the shorts, where Chris Kelly and I are doing some Your Pretty Face shorts animated that are going to air next year. They're kind of experimenting with some really sort of 2 and 3 minute little pieces, but we just started recording the scripts for those, and they're real funny. And I got a few pilots out there. One of them for Adult Swim. It's sort of about just a halfway house. That's just, these guys all have sort of special powers, but they're not like supervillains. They're just scumbags. You know, there's just like a guy that's kind of like Carl. The show's called Outhouse, and this guy's like Carl. His name's Ronnie, and he but whatever he can air, he is an airbrush kit, and whatever he airbrushes can come to life.
So, nice.
So it's like Harold the Purple Crayon if his like parents split up and he went down a bad path.
I mean, you guys, but you have to feel pretty good. I mean, Squidbillies is the only show that has ran for like 13 seasons on Adult Swim. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we're very proud of it. And we did it. We unveiled we call it a statue. It's probably closer to a sculpture, but of early in LJ. And it's right on the side of the main road there at Carter K Water Experience or Carter K Kayak Experience. I'm not sure, but it's on the main drag in LJ. It's 12 feet tall, and it's, I mean, it's going to be there for a long time. I don't think there are enough drunken fraternity brothers or crazy rednecks to take that thing down. It is concreted into it. That's not a challenge, by the way. That's not a challenge for anybody to go put gum on it, sign it, but go down there and get your picture taken with it. It's got a plaque and everything. And we were sort of thinking back when, you know, earlier a couple of years ago when they were tearing down Confederate general statues, we were like, it'd be funny if we just erect a statue in the name of our animated TV show that was on the air for 15 years.
Yeah.
3 times longer than the Civil War.
I'm going to go up there, get my picture with it, and then I'm going to go get them guidestones, get my picture with them too. Did you put it on the same parallel attitude-wise as the guidestones?
It's funny, you know, because we told them, we were like, what do you want on the hat? And we were like, we want it to say, this isn't a hat, it's a rag top for a sex convertible. And they used a different one, understandably.
And so, if you open it up in the back, there's a little light bright with the moon and ice on it.
It's got a little, he's got a little butt crack. You go around to the back. You won't see it from the road, but if you go around to the back, you see it.
So I understand you, you went to your first Grateful Dead show this year.
Yeah.
You told me that. And that fascinates me because in the first one I ever went to was with Jeff. I think I told you a story about how we fell down from doing nitrous balloons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jeff broke out his front teeth or something and fell down?
Broke my nose.
Oh, my God. But I was tripping. So it all happened in slow motion to me, like a Rocky fight. We know when Rocky hits the mat, the blood squirted out of Jeff's nose, like, bleh.
Oh, man.
So I had to run around.
No one told me that you can't just walk around and huff on a nitrous balloon.
No.
I had to learn the hard way.
It was interesting. It really was. It was like, I was walking around the, I guess, Shakedown Street, they just call all that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm walking around, I'm wearing this, I got this shirt that says, says Willie on it, Willie Nelson, and Willie is in the shape of Texas. And this woman, she grabs me by the shirt. She's like, "What's up with your shirt?" And I was like, it says Willie. And I think, I don't know, maybe it was that abortion law or something, like, was sort of fresh. But maybe that was going on in her mind. I don't know. It was like, I just said, "It says Willie." And she all of a sudden her face softened and she goes, "Oh, cool." It's so weird.
So if you're in Shakedown, did you see the meat wad vendor? The person, I always take a picture of her whenever I'm at some sort of hippie show, send it to you. There's somebody that uses meat wad in their advertisements.
Oh, really? No, I didn't, but I would have definitely stopped by. I went with my you know, they were giving out those the old school Adult Swim, like, little plastic figurines at Hardee's and Carl's Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't find a Hardee's or Carl's Jr. in Atlanta, you know, you got to go kind of, so we were coming back from North Carolina. I saw one. So I pull over and my wife is like, order it as meat wine, you know, and my kids are in the back going, "Oh God, don't, oh God, please don't," you know? And meanwhile, you know, and I'm like, "I want the bacon double cheeseburger, the Lord's Diet Coke, and I'd like to sub out the onion rings for the French fries, and I thank you much." I think the lady was like, "Could you repeat that?" I don't think she knew Aqua Teen at all. I think she thought I had a brain injury or something, or like a testicle injury. I think I was a castrati. And then we pull up to the window and my wife is laughing so hard. So I just keep at it. I'm just like, I'm talking to this lady. Now she's seeing my face, you know, and I'm going, "Well, did I get the figurine?" And she's like, "Well, that comes with the large, honey." And I want the large in. Let's do this. I finally told her. I was like, I'm not sitting on my testicles right now. Actually, this is a character. And she's like, "Well, doesn't matter, we don't have any anyway."
I wanted to ask you though, Dave, do you feel like it is getting harder to relate to the younger people? I mean, because I noticed, like, when I was in my 30s and people were like 20, they thought I was cool. And now the 20-year-olds now, like, they don't give a shit about us at all. They could care less.
Sure. I mean, I'm just trying to, I've never tried to relate to anybody other than just try to make myself laugh and hope that enough other people can connect with that. And I think if I start trying to chase that, I'll probably, but yeah, it's sure. At some point I'm going to pitch something and people are going to be like, "Oh God, here comes the bald guy with his jokes." So, you know, I don't know, but you know, I mean, I think having kids that are teenagers certainly sort of helps, and it's interesting where we overlap and where we find humor and stuff, but it's always a little bit humiliating to work on these cartoons and to have my son still prefer Family Guy, but that's all right. Hey, man.
They'll get it.
you know.
I'm 20 to 25 years older than most men who have just had newborns, so it should be interesting when I start going to these school functions. Are you his grandpa? No, I'm not his grandpa.
Yeah, you're going to be old dad. It's going to be interesting.
Yep. Should be fun. And just with all the new parents, I had an idea to do something with, like, where I'm terrified. I just go to these school board meetings and, you know, there's like same-sex couple parents and like a lady with purple or pink hair. And I'm just this scared old Gen X guy. I can't relate.
You need to get yourself one of those walkers with the tennis ball on the front.
I'm not going
to
get that close.
It's Gramp Dad. Here he comes.
Gramp Dad.
Yeah.
I almost called you Dad. I was going to say, well, Dave, thank you for taking part of your Thursday evening to chat with us. Guys, you got any more questions? I don't want to keep you all night, man.
No, you know, if you need anybody to scream, oh my God, again, please let me know, Dave. I'll be right there.
We got, I think we're doing this. I should probably plug this. We're doing this Adult Swim festival this weekend, which is, I think Friday. I'm doing it Friday and Saturday as I break out my readers. Kids, come on out to see my performance. Hold on, I don't know when it is. Someone messed up my schedule. So we're doing the Squids panel tomorrow night at 8:15, and then I think the Aqua Teen thing is going to be at same time Saturday night. So
yeah, that's what Carrie was plugging that last week at the his panel at CusaCon.
Yeah, it was kind of like, but at this point you're like, well, didn't everybody go to Shaky Knees? Like, can't we? We used to do this live, you know. Can't we do that now?
Yeah.
But, I guess next year, man. Next year, shoot for 2022.
Well, you could go to CusaCon in Rome, Georgia next year.
That's true as well.
Booth and there,
it wasn't just COVID that kept me away, though.
So, one last thing. How does Carl think the Giants are going to do this weekend?
Look, man.
Oh, that's a bad question because they're on the bye. Now I feel like
a bye week this week.
Let me tell you, I'm ready for Joe Judge to turn into Joe Judge, Jury, and Execution, because they're going the wrong way very quickly. And Danny Dimes, it's a. I was going to make a money analogy, and I feel like the New York Post beat me to each one of them. And Danny Dimes, they weren't Danny Nichols or Danny Penny. So. Hey, you got to have a Danny Dimes because I'm going to hit him with a sack of dimes. I won't do that. No, don't, if something happens to his car or his family, don't come. I don't want to implicate myself here. But yeah, we should have signed Cam Newton. I'll say that.
Oh, I see that you just got signed by
Carolina,
by,
right?
That's where it all began. Now watch them and not watch them run the board now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? That's probably a good pick. I mean, how much did they get? How much did they sign him for? Like $300,000? Some like tiny, the Patriots paid the rest of the freight on that.
Yeah. So. Sam Darnold back to obscurity. Dave, thank you very much for coming on tonight, man. And, we can't wait for Aqua Teen. We'll all be watching it. And of course, we're all going to watch Squidbillies the rest of the season. So,
and if you and Casper want to come on when the Your Pretty Face episodes start airing, let us know. I'd love to hear.
Anytime.
I'm sure we will. We're excited about him. Christy Caracas of Super JL and Ball Masters is doing all the designs for it and stuff. So it's going to have that kind of crazy rough look. Right. So it'll be great. Yeah. We're excited about it.
Nice.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Man. Thanks, man.
Hey guys.
See ya. Here at Radio Labyrinth, we are supported by Patreon. That's right. And our top Patreon donors are called producers. And we have a slew of them. And I want to read their names and thank them right now because we haven't done that in a while. First of all, Chris Chandler, thank you very much. And if you guys want to weigh in on any of these people, please jump in.
The former quarterback, right, for the Falcons. It's not that Chris Chandler.
No, it's not Crystal Chandelier. It is not Crystal Chandelier, but it is Chris Chandler. It's also not WSB's Chris Chandler. It's a different Chris Chandler. There's lots of Chris Chandlers, as it turns out.
Our Patreon's the best Chris Chandler.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the best Brett Perkins in the country is also one of our Patreon members.
Big buttery Brett.
Big buttery Brett. Butter him up. Todd Ellis, thank you very much for donating. Roby Neely, who you can hear from time to time on the always consistent Mike TV podcast, which is on our channel, hosted by Lisa Krause and Dean. Yeah,
and shout out to Roby too, because he was just in a car accident. He's okay.
I saw that.
Oh no.
Yeah,
that sucks. But no, Dean and Lisa do a good job when they actually do the show, and Roby is a good contributor to that show. So check it out. If you've never listened, go through our little back archive, and they do really, 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 really deep dives. another Patreon producer, Tim Slayton, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Brian Smith, who he and his fiance are getting married in October on Halloween, and is a Halloween-themed wedding. I hope I get to go. But if not, I wish them the best. They're great, great peeps, and they're big supporters of Dragon Con. Usually see them down there. Didn't get to this year. John Sutherland, great dude. We've known him for quite a while. Been a supporter for a very long time. John, thank you very much. He got me a real cool gift one year. I drew a Kiss drawing for him, and he got it framed or put in glass. It was really cool.
Oh, he was nice. Great in MASH, too.
Yes, he was. Really good in MASH. Mike D. Thank you, Mike D. We've always said it that way. Emily Hine Warren, who will be joining us because she donated to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the WSB Carathon. And one of the packages was you get to sit in and watch us do Radio Labyrinth on Zoom. So she'll be doing that very soon.
And because she's Emily Hine Warren.
Well, yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. Buck Monterey, want to thank you very much. Another longtime producer.
I always feel like he played Archie on All in the Family.
You think? Matt Carter, thank you very much. Matt Carter, another longtime sponsor and also
a sweet, 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 wonderful man.
Yes, he is. Mike Hall, who we mentioned, he's also a sponsor. And longtime donor, Eric Malmstrom. He's always funny on social media and supports us and interacts with us. And last but not least, Mr. Chad Shepard, who gave us this, the Red Box Troll, another longtime donor, former intern of mine, coworker, really nice
chap,
and he's awesome. And there we go. Yeah, look at that pop out like a green penis. if you'd like to be a Patreon member, we have different levels, and those levels change from time to time. But what's always consistent is if you come in as a producer, that's $25 a month. You off the bat, you get to pick one of our T-shirts. So now would be a good time because in a couple of weeks, well, while you're watching this, odds are we're going to have a new T-shirt or something that you want, and those links will all be made available to you. So thank you guys, and we appreciate it very much.
Please hang up and try again.